They gave him his orders at Monroe, Virginia, San Steve. You're way behind time. This is not 38, this is old 97. Put her in the Spencer on time.
You're listening to The Wreck of the Old 97, made famous by Johnny Cash. The true story of the mail train that jumped the tracks in Danville is just one of many stories you can find along Route 58, which is the longest road in Virginia. I'm Sarah McConnell, and today on With Good Reason, Highway 58, the road less traveled.
He was going down a grade, making 90 miles an hour. His whistle broke into a scream. He was found in the wreck with his hand on the throttle, scalded to death by the steam.
Later on today's show, a Southern writer rails against the typecasting of Southern writers.
I am Southern. I'm not violent. I'm reconstructed. I'm not wanting to wave the Confederate flag. I'm not landed gentry either, this old money. The wide swath of the Southern middle class is not represented.
But first, Virginia's longest road, Highway 58, begins at the shore of Virginia Beach and then goes west through the Dismal Swamp, the hills of the Piedmont, and finally into the mountains and towns of far southwest Virginia. Along the way are fascinating sites and artifacts of the state's history. My first guest today is Joe Tennis, the author of Beach to Bluegrass, Places to Break on Virginia's Longest Road. He teaches at Virginia Highlands Community College in their Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center. Where does Highway 58 run? Was it once a rather major thoroughfare?
Well, the journey that I begin with this book is up at Cape Henry and up at Fort Story. And then it goes across Virginia Beach and Norfolk and through Portsmouth and the Great Dismal Swamp, telling stories of Douglas MacArthur and the ghost of Adolph Coors at the Cavalier Hotel in Virginia Beach, the witch that got tied up in the Lynn Haven River, and on out to Nat Turner's insurrection, which was the greatest slave uprising in the history of the United States, out in Cortland. So that's the Hampton Roads area.
Let me ask you about a couple of those fascinating stories that you seem to be alluding to.
Okay.
One is the tragic death of Adolph Coors. Now, this is the fella for whom the Coors Brewery was named.
Yes. In 1929, he fell off the sixth floor of the Cavalier Hotel, and nobody knows whether he committed suicide or whether he was pushed. But there is a legend that's whispered among the walls of the Cavalier Hotel, and the management does not shy away from this, that if you have a wedding and you take a picture and you see a mysterious man show up in 1920s era clothing, that is alleged to be the ghost of Adolph Coors at the Cavalier Hotel.
Who was the witch you referred to?
The witch was Grace Sherwood. In 1706, she was tied up and thrown into the Lynn Haven River. She'd been accused of all kinds of things, like she would blight your cotton crops and cause your cows to give sour milk. They said that she could fit inside of an eggshell and scramble across the Atlantic Ocean in a single night. And she was eventually tossed into the Lynn Haven River tied up. And they figured that if she sank, she'd be innocent, but of course she'd be dead. And if she didn't sink, if she untied herself, then clearly she was a witch. And that's what she did, and they ended up throwing her in the county jail. 300 years after that trial in 2006, Governor Tim Kaine formally exonerated Grace Sherwood.
That's fascinating. I didn't know her story. And there is a statue of her.
There's a statue near Bayside Hospital. And it's not far, but Highway 58 crosses Witch Duck Road.
Also along the highway, the Dismal Swamp. Tell me about that.
The Dismal Swamp's one of the most fascinating places in Hampton Roads, and it's not half the swamp that it used to be either, because so much of it has been sliced up and made into subdivisions and filled in. And the lake that lies in the middle of the swamp, it's Lake Drummond, and it's over 3,000 acres, and it took its name from William Drummond, who escaped the quicksand, the briars, and the bobcats when he journeyed to the center of the Dismal Swamp in 1665. Yet he was the only one in his hunting party who escaped. Everybody else was killed, and nobody knows why.
So if we travel farther along Route 58, we come to the Piedmont stretch in your book. And what places do you suggest we sort of stop and drink in along the way?
Emporia is fascinating because it has the Village View Mansion, which was a landmark back during the Civil War in what became known as the Applejack Raid. And to give you a taste of what you'll find in Lawrenceville in Brunswick County, you simply have to crack open a can of Brunswick stew. You know, they used to make Brunswick stew with squirrel meat, but they found they didn't have enough squirrels around, so they started having to use different kinds of meat like lambs and chickens.
No, my neighbor made it with squirrel meat.
Was it good?
I wouldn't have any. Though I do love Brunswick stew.
Well, that's how it got its start. Danville, Virginia in the Piedmont has two of the most fascinating stories in the book, one of which is the last capital of the Confederacy when Richmond was on fire. This is where Jefferson Davis went to the Sutherland Mansion in 1865, thinking that Robert E. Lee was going to join him and provide protection. But, of course, along the way, Robert E. Lee surrendered his sword at Appomattox, and Davis was left to get in a train and escape in the middle of the night. There's another train story in Danville, and that's coming from the wreck of the old 97 in 1903.
Who sang that? You mentioned that in your book.
Johnny Cash sang the wreck of the old 97 eventually, but it started off with a couple of guys, Henry Witter and Vernon Dalhart.
You know, country music plays a vital role on the highway. Two of the founding fathers of country music are related to it, and you write about them in your book.
Johnny Cash and Hank Williams, yes, and also Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family are also part of it. And it's no coincidence that Highway 58 has become known in the Blue Ridge Mountains as the Crooked Road, Virginia's Heritage Music Trail. This is the highway that will connect Galax, which is the world's capital of old-time mountain music, to Bristol, which is known as the birthplace of country music. Bristol's known as the birthplace of country music for the discovery of Jimmy Rogers and the discovery of the Carter family, almost simultaneous in August of 1927, at what became known now famously as the Bristol Sessions. Johnny Cash married Maybell Carter's daughter, June Carter, and thereby married into what became known as the first family of country music. Now, while Jimmy Rogers was discovered in Bristol, Hank Williams, it is believed by some to have died or said his final words in Bristol. That is not exactly what happened, but the route of his final journey from 1952 to 53, as he was headed to a show in Ohio, would have crossed Highway 58 at the southern border of Virginia, and that's one of the stories in this book about Hank's last ride.
Tell me about that, because I'm a great Hank Williams fan, and you write about how his young driver looks back where Hank is lying down on the back seat and realizes, oh my gosh.
He was 17 years old. His driver was 17 years old, and they were making this journey from Knoxville up to Ohio. Now, one of the stories goes that when they stopped in Bristol, and they stopped at a place known as the Burger Bar to see if Hank wanted something to eat or drink. And it is believed that Hank had said his final word there. He said no. Well, as it's turned out, the event couldn't have happened at the Burger Bar. The Burger Bar wasn't standing at that site because it was a dry cleaner in 1952. So in talking to the chauffeur, I found that it more than likely that stop that they remember making was at the Doughboy, which is a restaurant that's no longer standing up in Bluefield.
Now, you write that you speculate the real Mayberry actually has its roots in Virginia, even though the Andy Griffith show and that Mayberry is supposed to be set elsewhere.
Mayberry, Virginia on the Blue Ridge Parkway is not too far from Mount Airy, North Carolina, which is Andy Griffith's hometown. And there is no Mayberry, North Carolina, but if you look back to some of the TV shows, you'll see that they were using a lot of local landmarks in the area, so why not use Mayberry at Mayberry, Virginia? That's what the locals contend, that one of Andy Griffith's grandfathers used to sell ginseng roots at the general store. Now, the great connection there is that Mayberry and Mabry of the famous Mabry Mill, which has shown up on the front of the Virginia highway map several times, the famous Mabry Mill, that's actually the same name.
You have a beautiful picture of Mabry Mill in your book and say it's the most photographed place in the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yes, ma'am. And it's also not too far from the Fairystone State Park, which is another great legend up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of when Jesus Christ died, the story goes that the fairies that were dancing around in the woods, frolicking, suddenly started to cry and their tears turned to stone and the stones turned into several different types of crosses.
And you write that Teddy Roosevelt and Thomas Edison carried these stones, which were said to ward off disaster.
They were looked at as a symbol of luck and love.
We mentioned Bristol, and not far from Bristol is Abingdon with the Barter Theater and the beautiful Martha Washington Inn that I love.
The Martha Washington, the most grand building in all of southwestern Virginia, belonged to Patrick Henry's niece. Across the street from the Martha Washington Inn, you'll find the Barter Theater, which took its name because people would come in back as early as the 1930s and barter anything they had. They'd bring in their snakes and their milk and their cottage cheese. And the Barter Theater is still going strong 75 years after it was founded by Robert Porterfield on the streets of Abingdon. What makes Bristol such a unique town is because half of it's in Virginia, half of it's in Tennessee. And though it is actually two cities joined together, and both of them are named Bristol, one in Virginia, one in Tennessee, it still functions as its own town. The library is on the Virginia side. The Chamber of Commerce is on the Tennessee side. The Bristol Mall is on the Virginia side. The Bristol Hospital is on the Tennessee side. Now, for the most part, people have gotten along down in Bristol, except for back down in 1889 in what became known as the Waterworks War, in which you had people from Virginia and people from Tennessee were fighting each other over where exactly the state line was and where they could put a water line. Much testimony was taken in this case, including a statement from an elderly woman, and she said, "Honey, now don't you move that state line." And they said, "Ma'am, why?" She says, "Well, honey, if you move state line, that's going to put my house in Virginia." And they said, "Well, yeah." She says, "Well, honey, now I've always heard that the climate was milder in Tennessee." So she really believed there was a difference to be had.
And there may have been. We don't know. So do you think that Highway 58 and its very bucolic flavor will be in jeopardy anytime soon? Do you see any of the creeping in of big box stores or malls?
I don't think you have that problem in many of the places. I believe what you have with Highway 58 is just a great highway that changes around every 100 miles. It becomes something new. If you travel Interstate 81 from Bristol to Lexington, it's much the same, over that 200-mile stretch. But when you get on something like US 58 and go through these port towns of Norfolk and Portsmouth and on out through the cotton fields and the peanut fields of Suffolk and Franklin and Cortland, and on out to the rolling hills of the Piedmont and climbing up almost a mile high at White Top Mountain, it's quite a journey, and you really feel like you've accomplished something.
That would take a week, right, of leisurely driving.
I think 2 weeks of leisurely driving, and I'm including time for you to get out and ride the Virginia Creeper Trail between White Top and Damascus, time to spend a night or two at Grayson Highlands State Park and hike up to Mount Rogers, rent a boat out on Bugs Island Lake, and go out and see where Okeechobee Island actually was under the water.
Joe Tennis is the author of Beach to Bluegrass, Places to Break on Virginia's Longest Road. He teaches at Virginia Highlands Community College in their Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center.